Hey, everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am here with my co-host, JC.
Wendy, it is so good to hear your voice this morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm living the dream down here in Florida. I mean, except for its pollen craziness. I know the rest of the world's going, yeah, whatever, lady. We're dealing with snow and this, that, and the other, and fires. And I'm dealing with pollen, which, oops. Oh, well.
Well, I heard everything's just covered in that fine yellow layer of dust right now. Is that right?
It really is. I finally washed my car after not washing it for way too long. And I mean, like months and months and months. And it turns out your car can develop mold on the outside if you don't wash it. Anyways, what I want to talk about today is leadership. It is such a vague term. It is thrown around a lot, often by people that have no business throwing it around, but it's such a vague term. What does it really mean? Is it the same as being a manager? Is leadership and management the same? And my take is no, absolutely not. What's your take?
When I talk to managers, I get the feeling that they're important. And when I talk to leaders, I get the feeling that I am important. That's the difference. That's the difference right there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love that. That's awesome.
All right. I'll say it one more time then. When I talk to managers, I get the feeling that they are important. And when I talk to leaders, I get the feeling that I am important. There it is. One more time. Tear that up, Ms. Wendy Sellers, the HR lady.
I think that's really, all right, we're done with this podcast. No, we're not. I'm just kidding. But seriously, it's the truth because, you know, it drives me crazy when I talk to organizations and they identify people as leaders. Like they're like, oh, this is our leadership team, you know, and it's like, wait, that's a title? No, leadership to me is an action. That's to me, it's an action. Management might be a title that really should be an action too, but leadership, you can be anybody in any role, whether you're managing humans or not, whether, you know, you're managing matchsticks or not, you can be a leader in your own right. It's how, in my opinion, it's how you treat other people. And according to dictionary.com, it is the action. So leadership is the action of leading a group of people or an organization. It's not necessarily an official role or title.
You could be a leader anywhere within your organization, and we're going to be talking about that coming up here momentarily. Leadership is crucial to the success of an organization as it provides a vision, motivates teams, and coordinates personal actions towards a common goal. The leader's role is to explain the vision and guide individual efforts towards achieving excellence. Now, interestingly, Ms. Wendy Sellers, the HR lady, 78% of business leaders actively and consistently engage with their employees. Only 78%. It kind of ties together with leadership being crucial to the success, if you think about it.
It really is. And the thing is, for our listeners, if you're trying to figure out in your organization, all right, do we want leaders or do we want managers? The answer is yes. And we need both, right? Ideally, you would put people in management who have learned leadership, attributes. And so it's not just a role, but it's how they talk to their people, how they talk with their people, I should say, not to their people, how they communicate with their people, how they treat people. And if you don't put your managers into like leadership training, for example, other people will just step up and become the leaders, even though they're not officially the managers, which means your employees are following the people who you did not put in a specific role. And that could be a really good thing, and it could be a really, really bad thing.
Absolutely can be a really bad thing. And let's think about it from your perspective, the listener of this program right now. You view yourself as a leader. I know you do. But think about this for a second. Pivot back on your heels. Think about the people that work for you. Are they eager to learn? Do they have strong communication skills? Are they team players? And are they able to collaborate? Are they independent in their thoughts? Do they recognize leadership in others? And do they hold themselves in well regard, holding their head high? If you have employees that are doing all those things, you have a natural leader. And if that individual isn't already in a managerial role or a leadership role within your organization, it provides you the opportunity to cultivate that. And it's someone that could be an extremely valued resource to your organization.
Yeah. I like that how you said that too. Like, people are going to lead natural leaders. And for the purpose of this podcast, we'll go lean on the positive side, right?
Sure, sure.
Because there are negative leaders too, right? So, you know, people, if you have a manager or a supervisor or a director and everybody second guess them and then goes to somebody else on the team and say, okay, this is what he said or this is what she said, but I need you to verify this information, then that person should probably be the supervisor or the manager. I think all too often, and I know, I'm not even going to say I think, I know because I see it. We say, okay, John Doe over here, you've been here for 7 years. You know how to make this product or service. You're an expert at it. You know the ins and outs of this organization. And so because you haven't left yet, we're going to make you the manager.
Wow.
But it turns out that they're like, may not want to be the manager. They just did it for the money. So many people will just take the management role because it's more money and there's no other career path.
Hey, wait a second, though. That's a line I used to use in college. I only did it for the money. No, I'm kidding.
It's the truth, though. When I started out early on in my HR career, the company that I worked at only had a path to go up the rungs of the ladder in that organization, the only way you could do it was to manage other human beings.
Wow.
And so there were many people who, A, did not want to manage other human beings and shouldn't have been managing other human beings,
right,
but they took the management roles because that was the only way to go up the career path. It was the only way to get more recognition and quite honestly, more money too.
Yeah.
Well, eventually that backfired. And we said, oh, these people should not be in management or leadership, whatever. They are an expert at what they do. So then we created other org chart paths, which was more like quality control, quality assurance. You're the head of blah, blah, blah.
Oh, geez, you're not losing that talent then. Yeah.
Right. You're not losing that talent and they're not being forced into a role to manage other human beings when they're rather, slit their wrist with a knife than do that. So then they take the job and they're like, I'm miserable. The people around me are miserable. And then they leave and they go somewhere else. But we do that because we're desperate. We need managers. We don't want to lose this person over here with all the experience, but we don't have any other roles. So even for the small businesses that are listening, you can still create two different career paths. One being the expert at, quality, product, service, but you're not actually managing other human beings. What that does mean, though, especially for small businesses, is that if you have an org chart that's like, I don't know, team lead, supervisor, manager, and then over here you have project manager, quality, whatever it might be, your org chart spots, as these people continue to grow, you might have empty seats because they moved up and nobody replaced them because you don't have that big of a business. And so you just have to get creative. You have to get really creative. Otherwise, somebody else will get creative, probably one of my clients, and then I'm going to come and steal your employees.
And let's leverage that creativity. People have a natural tendency to follow a leader, regardless of your level of knowledge and experience in a particular field. You can accomplish more if you report to a higher authority. Now, this is because a leader provides guidance and assists you in minimizing potential threats to your productivity. And a leader does not have to be a senior colleague to help you succeed through effective mentorship, accountability, and delegation of duties, playing directly into what Ms. Wendy Sellers, the HR lady was just telling you right there with the differentiation in the org chart.
Yeah, you can lead from where you're at. And in many cases, and this is it's unfortunate, but it's real, we have to manage up as well. So we have to we have to lead from our seat and help protect the people around us, even when we're not managers. And so how do you lead regardless of your management title? Oh, go ahead.
Lead from your seat and stomp it out with your feet. You ever hear that one? That's right. You stomp out those fires. You stomp out those fires and you protect your people. You lead from your seat and you stomp out with your feet. But you never ask them to do anything that's not too neat because you used to be in their seat. Ms. Wendy Sellers, the HR lady, did you know that only 48% of employees rate their company's leadership as excellent?
I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised that I'm actually surprised that it's that high.
Successful leadership. It creates a clear vision of what an organization is capable of accomplishing. Leaders provide a roadmap outlining the steps and resources required for their organization to arrive at the desired destination. Only 10% of people are natural leaders. The remaining 20% demonstrate basic managerial talent that can be developed into high-quality leadership.
Only 10% of people are natural leaders. That's a very, very, strong fact there, because I think I know personally from my own experience that when you take control of things, people go, oh, they're a leader. It's like, well, not necessarily. You might just be a control freak and you might just be running over people's feelings. That was me back in the day.
No, really?
And I really, seriously? Oh, yes. I was like, I'm a high D on the DIS personality scale, which means dominant, direct, controlling, bossy. Well, being bossy doesn't make you a leader. I learned the very, very hard way with lots of tears, not mine, other people's, and lots of coaching from true leaders who were honest with me to say, hey, when you do this, this is how it makes other people feel. And believe it or not, listeners, I have feelings and I do not want to have hurt other people's feelings. But if someone didn't tell me that, I would just keep running over people's feelings.
That's a tough conversation though, right?
Oh, yes, it is. I remember the first time someone told me that.
But it was someone that you trusted, or it was someone that you did not trust?
It is 100% somebody that I trusted and talked to me like I mattered when they were telling me my negative attributes. When other people told me that were telling me it as a negative and not in a kind way, I didn't listen to them because I was like, you're an idiot. You're a jerk, whatever.
Right.
So it really is how people talk to you. So I just really wanted to stop there and say, wow, only 10% of people are natural leaders. The rest you have to learn. So here's the great thing, listeners, is if you're sitting there questioning, well, I'm a manager, but am I a leader? There's hope. There's hope for everybody. Get training, listen to people. So listening means you need to stop talking, shut up and listen. That's what I always say. Shut up and listen and truly listen and say, okay, you've given me some great information. Now I need to go reflect on that. And then maybe I need to get some training. We all need training on everything. I learn something new. I don't want to say every day, but every week I learn something new and I go, oh, how did I not know that before?
I learn something new every day. Through the podcast, Interesting Things with JC. Stop by jimconnors.net to check that out. I'll give you one fact every day that you can leverage to learn every single day.
I do learn something every day when I listen to your 2 to 5 minute podcast.
Oh,
and I'm always
it.
Like, first of all, some of them I'm like, how did I not know that? And the other one's like, I don't know if I could probably live without knowing that, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that she was 7'12" tall. Hey, here's the next one I got for you. One of the most important leadership skills is decision making. In all situations, successful leadership makes the best decision for the organization. Leaders are experts at making sound decisions in the face of adversity. They assess the organization's strengths and weaknesses to ensure that their decisions put them ahead and in the future. And did you know, each year businesses in the United States spend $166 billion on leadership development, accounting for nearly half of the $366 billion spent globally. Back to you.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And, for the folks that are thinking, I don't want to train people and have them leave, that whole saying, well, you cannot trade them and have them stay. Right. So, training is super, super important. And so is, living your core values, your company's core values, and making sure that all employees, regardless of their title, so that includes managers and then true leaders, they know like, hey, these are our expectations at work of how we behave here, and we're going to train you on that, and then we're going to hold you accountable. If you've listened to me before, I am huge, huge, huge on core values, because 99% of my phone calls every day, all day, of my clients when they're calling because, all hell just broke loose at their company, it's usually behavior related. It's not performance related.
It's fascinating that you bring up the behavior. You said this earlier in on this podcast. You also talked about the way that people spoke to you being positive, even though it was a negative, and that positivity goes such a long way. On a daily basis, there's numerous events that can cause us to be upset, discouraged, or depressed. And those who choose to be positive, to see the bright side of life, be optimistic, and to see the good in the world around them and in the people they associate with, will always have a positive impact. Something very important when we think about leadership and cultivating those leadership traits.
It really is. Being positive, even when you're giving negative feedback, you know, you could end things with, you know, I do this skit when I'm doing management and leadership training. It's like, okay, we got to deliver bad news to an employee, but it's not like you're going to get fired bad news, but it is bad news and they're not going to take it well. So how do I do it? And I call it the sandwich technique. Where you start out by saying, hey, JC, you've been here for a couple of years. We've had really great success with you. We love that you're on the team and things that are happening. However, blah, blah, blah happened yesterday and we can't have that happen again.
I quit.
Because it's, yeah. Most people are not going to just say, I quit.
Gen
right?
Z, I quit. No, I'm kidding, Gen Z. I'm kidding.
It's how you deliver the bad news, though, where you could sandwich it by saying, I care about you as a person.
Yes.
I want you on a team. This needs to not happen again. I'm going to be here for you. And I know we're going to get through it. So you kind of leave that conversation with like, yes, I just gave you bad news. Yes, I'm going to write you up. Yes, I expect you to make some changes. But yes, I'm here for you as your manager slash leader. And we're going to get through this together.
And depending on the generational gap, Wendy, you could do that via Snapchat.
No, absolutely not.
No?
These conversations 100% have to be live. It could be via Zoom or something like that, but it needs to be live where you're looking each other in the eyes and saying, okay, this is a serious conversation. Now, in very, very few circumstances, you might be able to do it on the phone, but prefer you to be looking at somebody in their face when you're giving them any kind of news, especially if it's something negative, where they're going to get a write-up so that they can look at you and say, okay, I did something wrong. You're telling me it was wrong. You're telling me you're going to write me up, but you're also telling me you're here for me and we're going to get through this together. I'm not going to turn around and quit. I'm not going to turn around at 5 p.m. and go look on Indeed, or let's face it, it's not even going to wait till 5 p.m. I'm going to look on Indeed and look for new jobs. I'm going to get through this together because you gave me feedback and now I'm going to think about it and I'm going to work on that and I'm going to improve as an employee and as a human on this earth.
Optimism.
That is what leadership, optimism, providing feedback, you know, living your core values that align with the companies and leading by example. That is leadership, not management, leadership.
I do have one more statistic here, and it is not positive or optimistic. Would you like me to bring it up or should we just keep moving on?
No, go right ahead.
All right. You know, if you want to stand out, you want to make a good impression at work, become more agile and flexible, people who take the time to be influential and adaptable are second to none. And when we think about people that are second to none, sometimes we have to look past our own seat. We have to look to those to the left and right of us. It's important to mention in the realm of leadership, women only hold 20% of CEO positions.
Yet, yikes.
Yet they make up nearly 40% of a company's managers. And they make up only 20% of the CEO positions. It indicates that women have a lower promotion rate when it comes to the highest leadership positions in a company, but it does not diminish by any means the level of leadership that they bring to the table. Something very important to remember.
Yeah, that leads into another conversation that, you know, we will be having soon on our podcast is, you know, about diversity and inclusion. And so we'll talk about that more coming up soon. Last thing that I want to give before we close here is for everyone that's listening today, regardless of your title, is please give credit where credit is due. That's what a leader does, is saying, you know, you're in a meeting and somebody's patting you on the back, figuratively speaking, because you shouldn't be touching your coworkers. But where they're saying, oh my God, your team did amazing. You can say, you know what? It was my team. It wasn't me. And so even when you're getting an award, you have to make sure you thank your team and give credit where credit's due. And if you're only giving credit to one person on your team, you're not a leader, because that means that one person is probably doing all the work of everyone else. And that's not fair to that person either. So please, though, stop, think, give credit where credit is due. Thanks for listening to our discussion today about the meaning of leadership. Go out and be a leader in this world.
As always, the HR lady is looking for your feedback on this program. Feel free to reach out to her and let her know what you think of the topics or what you want to hear in a future episode. Ms. Wendy Sellers, the HR lady, what are some of the best ways people could reach you?
You could reach me on any of the social medias, but you could also just email me directly, wendy@thehrlady.com. And let me know what you would like to hear about in the future, or if you have any, you know, urging HR needs, I'd be more than happy to help you. Why? Because I can't help myself. Take care, everybody.